Mark chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark. There are four Gospels, four independent witnesses as to what happened during the life of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they give testimony as to the events that they saw, and that's important. You go down to the courthouse and you sit on a case, you may never hear a single witness as an eyewitness that saw the crime. You'll hear DNA evidence. You might see video evidence. You'll hear a testimony of a police officer. But there are crimes where there is no eyewitness. They are tied to that by physical evidence. And that's not a bad thing. But a strong case is when you have an eyewitness testimony. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four eyewitnesses that are testifying as to what they saw. I say that, I talked to a police officer maybe about probably 3 years ago, and he was making fun of the biblical narrative. And I said, you call yourself a detective. These are eyewitnesses. This is eyewitness testimony. These guys have a stronger case for that than any case that you'll ever have. You are in the wrong occupation. You should get a different job. And he looked at me and said, Mom's calling, I gotta go. He walked out of the room. This is powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Mr. Frank and Miss Rodriguez. Appreciate their ministry. Mark chapter 2. And sometimes your eyewitness testimony is from people that like you. Mark would have been a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes they're your enemies. And your enemies give powerful testimony. And in Mark chapter 2, the adversaries of Jesus Christ will give testimony as well, and we'll hear from them. We're in verse 1 of the second chapter of Mark, and again, he, Jesus Christ, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he, Jesus, was in the house. Jesus in the house. It's a noise. That's a difference in what you will see in the biblical narrative, is that Jesus Christ didn't go to a Colosseum and say, come and we're going to have a healing service, which is what you see going on today. He went to where the people were. Healing is, in this first century, was to authenticate the ministry of Jesus. I should probably even say this. I have been in ministry for a long, long time. I followed the Lord Jesus Christ, followed a lot of people, and I personally have never healed anybody. Zero. Do I believe that Jesus can heal? Jesus heals, he does. I have watched that, an answer to prayer, that Jesus Christ has healed people. He heals. And you say, well, if I saw Jesus heal someone, I would come to know him as my Savior. First century would disagree with you. They saw Jesus Christ heal, and they did not embrace his salvation. Because it's a matter of the heart, not a matter of seeing something physically with your own eyes. I was not alive in the first century. You know, some of you find that hard to believe. But I have read the historical record, and I believe it. I believe. Noise in the house, Jesus was there, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. You could not get inside. And he, Jesus, preached the word unto them, which is the same thing that we do today. We are preaching the Word of God. We present to you the Word of God. Verse 3, and they, some friends, come to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. So we have a man. He has a disease. We'll talk about that in a moment. He cannot walk. It requires him to be carried of four people. So they have a picture, a stretcher, one guy on each corner, and they're carrying him to the house, but they cannot get in the door. And Verse 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up," imagine this is your house, and all of a sudden there's bang, 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 crash, 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 and you look up, and now you can see the stars. You have a skylight. That would not make my day. But these four friends, bearing their friend who could not walk, they wanted him to get to Jesus. And they went to extraordinary means to make that happen. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, and they knew if they could just get this man to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him, both physically and spiritually. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The most desperate need of man is not physical healing. The most desperate need of mankind is spiritual healing. Christ addressed the most serious problem first, and that was spiritual healing. This guy didn't come just for physical healing. They believed that Jesus Christ was God and could do it. I believe if Jesus would have said to him, it's going to be better for you not to be healed, but I'm going to offer you salvation, that he would have received salvation. He's not embracing Christ because he got healed. He is embracing Christ before he got healed. But there's always some enemies in the crowd when Jesus Christ is around. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. Notice what they were doing. They were reasoning in their hearts. They weren't saying anything. They weren't even... Listen, you get calloused and cold long enough, you can sit there and not even make a face. And they teach you to do that. If you're going to be in court, your lawyer will say, don't react to anything that is said. There's no sense that these guys were reacting to what Jesus did on the outside. But in their heart, they were reacting. And here's the thing. I wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that. But God would know that. Jesus Christ is God. And he knew that. What were they reasoning? Verse 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? How sad it is to be so close to the truth. They had nailed it right on the head. He is forgiving sins. He must be God. But if that didn't convince them, Jesus Christ he addresses what is going on the inside. The second thing ought to have gotten their attention because they didn't say anything and they didn't react. But Jesus Christ addressed what they were thinking in their heart. That should have been enough that said to them, this guy is not a normal guy. This is God, because only God can see the heart. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can see the heart. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned, and this is repeated for emphasis, within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that's easy.
Thy sins be forgiven thee.
I was back in my police department days. I was working with my lieutenant. And we were working evening rush hour assignment on Route 28 southbound before it was an overpass, underpass. People would run up the shoulder to try to get ahead of traffic. And we would sit there and greet them in the name of the Commonwealth of Virginia as they came around the corner. And while we were up there, somebody came up and said, hey, there's a car parked down in the handicap zone. And it was down the hill. And the lieutenant said to me, we'll take care of it. And they looked at me and said, walk down the hill. Because they didn't want to walk down the hill and walk back up. And so I walked down the hill. I took my parking ticket book. I wrote them a parking in a handicap space, stuck it on the windshield, and walked back up the hill. 15 minutes later, the handicap guy come out. He forgot to put his permit in the on the thing. And here's this guy on kind of walking like Rick does, only he had two things on either side, and he's walking up the hill towards us. He was obviously handicapped, and I just looked at my lieutenant, because getting rid of a ticket is pretty hard. You have to write a memo, and I looked at my tenant, and I said, I'm not writing a memo. You made me write the ticket. You're here. You can see this. You can just take care of it. And he went, he rolled his eyes and put his hands in the air. And so the guy came up, and he said, I'm sorry. Obviously, I'm handicapped. I forgot to put my sticker in, and I reached out my hand and said, you had the ticket, and he handed it back to me, and I said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And my lieutenant looked at me and he went, you can't say that. I said, what's he going to do, complain? I mean, we're taking a ticket away from him. So anyways, immediately Jesus perceived within themselves, he said to them, why reason these things in your heart? It's easy to say, I'm going to forgive you your sins. I said it. Could I forgive sins? I can't forgive sins. I can't. God can. Or, whether it is easy to say, the sake of the Holy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. What is Christ saying? You're reasoning because I said your sins are forgiven you, but I'm about to say, get up and walk. And this guy who is sick of the palsy is going to get up and walk. Jesus forgave the sins. Who can do that but God only? Jesus is going to, he told them what they were thinking in his heart. Who can do that? Only God only. He said to the sick of the palsy, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the guy got up and walked away. How much more evidence do you need? But they did not embrace Christ in his salvation. Jesus Christ did it, verse 10, for this reason. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorify God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, I'll bet. And let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts this evening as we look at this man, his life, his testimony. We do not know his name, but we have eyewitness testimony as to the event given to us by Mark. May we not be dismissive of these as they have been testified to us, but may we consider the power of our God. Father, no doubt there is someone here in the room or maybe somebody listening by way of technology, and they do not know that you are God, that you are the Savior, that you paid the price on Calvary for their sin. May tonight they stop and consider their greatest need is not physical, and their greatest need is spiritual, and embrace your salvation as this man did, born by his four friends. And we'll thank you for what you do in the room this evening as we pray to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Palsy is paralysis. This person was paralyzed. I talked to you this morning about a lady who had gone to the chiropractor, broke her neck, and she was paralyzed from the nose down. She could only communicate. At the time, she was probably 32, 33 years of age, a beautiful young lady, but paralyzed. She could only communicate by blinking her eyes. And you'd look at her. She wanted to say something, and she'd start blinking her eyes and say, and if she was going to spell out a word, and then the word started with B, she'd blink her eyes twice, and you'd go, B. One blink was A, C, and K, and on it go. It was difficult. Then you'd get a couple of words, and then you'd guess what she was saying, and then she would She would do the three blinks was yes. And anyways, it was just really difficult. And you would look at her and say her greatest need was physical healing. But she understood that her greatest need was spiritual healing. She embraced Christ as her Savior in spite of, if you'll allow me to say that, in spite of her physical disability. And what a powerful testimony she was of the grace of God. Paralysis can affect one side. It can affect the lower half. It can affect the entire body. Loss of motion, loss of sensation, or both. a tragic story of a teenage young gal. She was in the news this week. She was a swimmer. She was the fastest in her lane. But she, as a typical teenager, she was struggling with purpose in life and was being the fastest in your lane enough. And then her life changed. It was obviously graduation, and she was a passenger in a car that lost control. The car went across the grass median of the interstate, hit another car head-on. Three people were killed in the accident. She lived, but she was paralyzed from the waist down. And she went from the fastest swimmer in her lane to not being able to swim at all. She was afflicted with palsy, paralysis, paralyzed from the waist down. And then once she got out of the hospital, put her back in the water, but she can't move her legs. She can only move her arms. Her name is Ryan Ray Harbuck. She wrote a book, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Chair. Today, she is a teacher, she is a swim coach, she is a mom, she inspires others. I don't know where she is spiritually, but I can tell you her greatest need is not physical healing. Her greatest need is to be healed spiritually, to know that her sins are forgiven and Christ is her Savior. The problem in our text this evening is that this man could not get to Jesus by himself. Obviously, he was paralyzed. He could not walk. He needed someone to help him, which is what the soul winner does. They bring people to Jesus. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in the second chapter in the first verse, reminds them that we, in the sinful condition without Christ, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. This man is dead spiritually. He is handicapped physically, but dead spiritually. And he needs some friends to bring him to Jesus because he can't get there himself. Today, there are lots of people who are paralyzed. They cannot get to Jesus, and they need a friend who will help them. Darlene brought a young man to church, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And that's what people need. They need someone to tell them about Christ. Caden has brought friends to church, and they have trusted Christ as their Savior. Out of those, the four that were baptized just recently, three of them were brought to church by friends. That's what friends do. They bring their unsaved friend, their friend that is paralyzed by sin, to Christ so they can hear the gospel message. The question is, can you be bothered? It is not if are people paralyzed, because people are, by sin. The question is, will you be a friend that will bring them to Jesus? Can you be bothered to go and get them? Can you see them as Jesus sees them? Helpless, hopeless. I'll just say, and I'm thankful for people that bring friends to Christ. Very thankful for that. If you get to church and the door is locked, please do not break through the ceiling. That was my first thought when I read about this. Please call security and get a key and let them let you in. don't break through the roof. I'd rather not have that repair. But these friends were determined to get their friend to Jesus. Who were they? They are not named. They are not named. Who is the person they brought? I don't know. He was not named. But we have four guys carrying a stretcher who brought an unnamed man to Jesus who was obviously paralyzed, who received spiritual healing and physical healing. What a powerful reminder of God's salvation. It was just last week, Montgomery County, Maryland, last Monday evening, hopefully you weren't traveling up on the Beltway, I-495 at exit 41. I'm thankful for our 911 system, but if you're trapped in a car and it's on fire, you're going to be dead probably before 911 gets there. Just saying. And that's what happened last Monday evening. A car caught on fire. It was a one-car accident. The person was trapped inside. 911 had been dialed, but the car was on fire. Several bystanders pulled off the road. They were not police officers. They were not firemen. They were not technicians. They were not skilled. All they did was they saw an urgent need, and they sprang into action and went over to the car. They forced the door open. They got the person out. Who's the person in the car? I do not know. The article didn't say. Who are the people that stopped to help that person out of the car that was on fire? I do not know. The article did not say, and as from what I understood from the article, they do not know who stopped to help. But we will believe that exit 41 account, but we're not going to believe this account. The hypocrisy of our unbelief. People just don't want to believe that there is a God that can forgive sins and that can heal. But he can, and he did. Thankful for these four guys. What happened to some in the room is that they failed to diagnose the problem. These scribes, religious people, they see a problem with anything that Jesus did. But they failed to see the big problem, and the big problem was sin. They would have looked at the patient and say the patient needs to be healed of their palsy, of their paralysis. But again, the biggest need was sin. Now, I just say, you go to a doctor and you're having chest pain and he says, I'm going to treat you for an ingrown toenail. You might want to find a different doctor. If you go to the doctor and say, I'm having these severe headaches, and he says, we're going to amputate your baby toe, you might want to find a different doctor, because he is not understanding what the problem is and how to treat that. I would not go to these religious guys, the scribes, because they did not understand the problem or how to treat it. And when Christ diagnosed the problem as sin and took care of the most serious problem first, they were critical of that. And they just did not understand. Jesus is the only solution. Acts chapter 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other solution. I hate cancer. Now, we've had lots of people that have been afflicted by that over the years, but I out of all the desperate cases that I have seen, I hate paralysis worse. It's just so hopeless and so helpless, unable to come to Jesus without a helper. And Paul said to the church at Corinth in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, reminding us that we are to be that helper. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, the people that need it most, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Don't hide your help. Don't hide help, because that sinner is paralyzed, spiritually dead, unable to come to Jesus. Help them. And sometimes they don't want help. Mark's been witnessing to a guy at McDonald's on Thursday, and that guy decided he didn't want help. He didn't want help. I don't have any control over that. This guy could have said, leave me alone. Do not take me in there. Don't take me on this roof. What are you guys doing? Get me out of here. He could have been not interested. These four guys don't have any control over that. But he was interested. And he wanted help. He wanted spiritual help. And they brought him to Jesus. Sometimes people just do not understand the problem. New Hampshire Planet Fitness got into trouble this week. There was a man in the ladies' room. Fellas, you should not be in the ladies' room. I'm just telling you. There's a man in the ladies' room, so a lady, she's probably, I don't know. You hate to guess a gal's age, but she looked, I don't know, 65-ish or so. And she went up to the management and said, there is a guy, and there's a man in the ladies' changing room. And as a result, they kicked her out of the club for complaining and rescinded her membership. The result of that is, as a story broke and made the news, Planet Fitness lost $400 million in their stock value almost overnight. What was their problem? The failure to diagnose. And the world doesn't get it right, but God does. God does. There's a problem with sin. They need a Savior. And so the Pharisees come in, as we mentioned in verse 6, reasoning in their hearts that he's forgiving sins. Only God can do that. Correct. Correct. He is God. He is God. And they failed to see that. That was their great error. Failure to properly diagnose the problem and realize that Christ and only Christ could bring the solution. I cannot see the heart, but Jesus can. I cannot see your heart, but Jesus can. And Jesus saw that they reasoned in their heart. What's also interesting is that when he, verse 12, when he healed the man, that he immediately arose. Now, if you have any medical knowledge at all whatsoever, you understand that that just doesn't happen. My dad is 96 years of age. He has been a strong man all of his life. He spent a couple of weeks in the hospital. And if you're down for a couple of weeks, it's going to be a tough recovery. And Dad had to spend a month in rehabilitation trying to get back his ability to walk. And that's an able-bodied man who just was on his back for 2 weeks. This is a guy that has been paralyzed. And when you're paralyzed, those muscles shrink, they shrivel up. You look at a guy's legs, they've been paralyzed. It's like, man. And if he could be healed today, he would go through years of physical therapy in order to have any semblance of walking. But not so when Christ heals you. Which again should have said to the crowd, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen this happen before. Wow. But not to the religious crowd. They would not be convinced as to what Jesus Christ was done. I look at this and I think, if I was one of the four friends, I get goosebumps. If I was one of the four friends, man, we'd be talking about that for a long time. Remember the time when we broke through the roof and lowered him down and Christ healed him physically and spiritually? Yeah, we'd talk about that for a long time. Man was given strength. The friends were thrilled and rejoicing. The person that received healing, wow. Let me tell you, I was paralyzed my whole life, and God healed me on that day when my friends lowered me down. It was scary. My heart was beaten as I went down there. I can hear him telling the story of his healing and then telling them, I got my sins forgiven and I got physical healing. What a great day that was. The man was helped. His friends were thrilled. The crowd was amazed. But even with this event and this testimony, there were those that just will never be convinced that he is God. Navy Team SEAL 6 has some insane training, also known as DevGru, Tier 1 Counter Direction, Direct Action Force. They were interviewed just recently, and one of the fellows said, what we do is serious. And there's no do-over. There's no second chances when you go into combat. There's no, we're going to do this another day. When we go to do something, it has to be done, and it has to be attended to right then. You're 30 feet away. You can't always radio to your guy, but a look and a point, and they know what you're going to do. It's that, the training is that integrated. Without a word. And we're impressed by that. But that is nothing in comparison to what Jesus Christ did for this man on this day. And so I made 2 points. Number one, don't wait. A lot of people do. Don't wait until you've lost your ability to serve the Lord to your purpose in your heart that you're going to give a gospel witness, participate in a DC gospel outreach, go with Brother Warren and knock on some doors. Don't wait until you physically can't do it and say, I wish when I was 20, 30, 40 years of age, I had given God the strength of my youth. Number one. And then number two, don't wait until your deathbed to try in the last minute of life to find God. If you're here without Jesus Christ this evening, I'll just say that is not a good plan. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this evening, you say, preacher, I'm a Christian, I know Christ is my Savior, but I'm really not serving Him. And tonight, I'm burdened to be a friend, to bring people to Jesus. Would you pray for me? And I will. Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a second. Preacher, would you have a special prayer for me tonight that I would be a friend that brings people to Jesus? Okay. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Christians. They're sensitive. They desire to be a friend. Thank you for the folks in the room this evening, Darlene. And I thank you for Caden, who has brought friends to church. They've received Christ. What an exciting thing that is. May we be challenged like these four men to bring people to Jesus so that they can receive the greatest need, and that is forgiveness of sins and to know that there is a Savior who loves them and paid the price for them. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this evening. You do not know Christ, but you're searching for the truth. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard that you're a sinner, that Christ is the Savior, and He is God. But tonight you're hearing that and you're saying, I'm searching. God is speaking to my heart. I don't know that I'm ready to make a decision yet, but I'd really like for you to pray for me. Preacher, I'm here tonight without Christ. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand and hold it up for just a moment. And let me remember you in my closing prayer. Let's stand to our feet. Their heads bowed. The piano is playing. If you want to spend a moment at the altar praying for God to give you the strength to be a friend, you can. If you wanted a preacher to pray for you, I'd be delighted. You obey. The invitation will not be long, and you obey as God speaks.